Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and our supporters once again welcome you to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio. Today is Sunday, the 12th of July. Last week we had a little excursus reflecting on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. Until that Sunday, motivated by the FIFA World Cup, we had been thinking about sporting images in the Bible, and we return to that theme this morning. First, though, words from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Amen.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. The rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's reason. creation of the new day.
We turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we extol and exalt you, for you are our God and our deliverer. We sing praises to your name and give thanks at the remembrance of your faithfulness. You are the God who hears our cries, who heals our bodies and souls, and who lifts us out of the depths. We praise you because your favour lasts a lifetime, and your steadfast love endures forever. You are the sovereign God who turns our wailing into dancing and clothes us with joy. And we worship you, for weeping may endure for the night, but joy always comes in the morning. You are our help and our shield. Because you have changed our sorrow into gladness, our hearts will sing your praise forever and not be silent. Merciful God, you lift us out of the depths, yet we confess that we so often rely on our own strength. When life is easy, we boast that we will never be shaken, forgetting that our security is a gift from you. Forgive us for our pride, our self-sufficiency, and the times we have turned away from your ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our cry. Forgive us for the moments we have failed to seek you until we were brought to the brink of despair. Heal our brokenness and turn our spiritual mourning into dancing. Clothe us once again with your joy and remind us that your favour lasts a lifetime. By your grace, may our hearts sing your praises and never be silent, for we pray in your holy and steadfast name. Amen. Our short reading this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. The apostle writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Amen.
Was paralyzed by fear when they heard a mighty multitude was quickly drawing near. But as they prayed for deliverance, the victory would begin. For when we call upon the Lord, we summon all of heaven.
Stay on your knees, for this is where the
Very soon you'll win the victory. Pray on. When Daniel faced the lions for worshiping the Lord, it seemed there was no hope at all for what would be in store. But when we stand on holy ground, our smallest prayer is heard. Instead of on our circumstance, our eyes are on the Lord. Pray on, for you are who the Lord is looking for. Pray on, for this will tear those mighty strongholds down. Stay on your knees, for this is where the battle is won. Very soon you'll win the victory. Pray on. When your questions go unanswered and your prayers may seem in vain, they don't seem to make a difference, they don't seem to make a change. Just rest assured, God knows your needs, and He hears each time you pray. Your prayers are reaching heaven, and the answer's on the way.
If you're not familiar with the Tour de France, it's a nearly 3,000-kilometre bicycle race through the country of France and occasionally neighbouring countries, conducted in 20 or more stages over a period of 3 weeks, an average of over 160 kilometres a day. The race includes a bit of everything, all-out sprints, long days travelling through the French countryside, agonising climbs over the Pyrenean Mountains and the Alps, and then terrifying descents from those same mountains, in which the cyclists can reach speeds of over 100 kilometres an hour. The athletes have to contend with all kinds of hazards, narrow streets, blown tyres, even spectators and small children darting out into the road, and they ride in all kinds of conditions, heat, wind, rain, even hail. In short, it is one of the most grueling athletic contests ever devised by human beings. Now, the analogy with the experience of life and faith is not too far-fetched. At times, our days feel like a sprint, and at other times they seem more like a long, slow, painful climb up a mountain. At various times, our days can be exhausting or exhilarating, tedious or full of surprises. They can be full of joy and hope, and also discouragement and suffering. In the race of life, we're all in it together. In the journey of faith, we're all belonging to one another. But in the Tour de France, there's only one winner, only one man who can stand at the finish wearing the famous maillot jaune, the yellow jersey. But in the life, every one of us has potential to win the race, to make the most of our times. In the realm of faith, every one of us can receive the victor's crown and hear the words of our Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that's what we all want, isn't it? to get to the end of the race of life and feel that we've won. Aren't we all wanting to be winners? Listen to the Apostle Paul. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. There's lots of images in there of running and of boxing. But each one of them has this principle underneath them. Training. In every other area of life, we accept that we must train in order to do something well. If you want to become skilled in medicine or law or computer programming or carpentry or preaching or anything else, you have to prepare yourself through discipline and study, perhaps years of it. And the same is true when it comes to the practice of Christian faith. Becoming spiritually mature, gaining wisdom, discovering and developing gifts for ministry, these all require sustained intentional effort. And that's just the way it works. If we want to grow in Christ, we have to discipline ourselves. We have to pray and read and study and labour to put our faith into practice. Now, it could be that one of the regular mistakes we make is to think that we can pick up the presence of God as and when we think we need him. In some moment of crisis, we think that we need a word from the Lord, and we open the pages of a dusty Bible which has not seen the light of day since whenever. Or perhaps we seek to pray and ask the Lord's help, and we find ourselves all at sea, well, because we've never prayed in a way that has built up a personal relationship with God. Maybe we sense the need for worship with others, but we've neglected to meet together, and so going to church seems like a strange and alien experience. Paul, in this passage, uses the example of an athlete in training because of the intense commitment that athletes need in order to win. They give themselves completely to their sport, training their minds and bodies for excellence. I was once on holiday on the Mediterranean island of Mallorca, and Mallorca is the heart of European cycle training. And all the teams go there in the early spring to do warm weather training and to practice their climbing and their sprinting. And so it's not unusual on a mountain road to have to overtake some 20 cyclists. They were all developing their stamina in order to compete on the mountain stages in the races. I think we could all wish we could get a zap that would make us instantly more disciplined. Like some kind of spiritual liposuction, where God would just suck out all the sin and laziness out of us all at once. But there are no shortcuts to discipline and maturity. So be patient with yourself. Don't beat yourself up when you decide to become more disciplined, but don't suddenly start hitting the gym 7 days a week, spending 3 hours in prayer and Bible study, or keeping your room spotless. Discipline takes time. So take it slow and remember God is gracious towards us in our weakness. Discipline requires willpower for us to do what we need to do. But as we continually make the right choices, the need to draw on willpower diminishes. The disciplines we faithfully repeat eventually become habits. We simply become the kind of people who wake up early or the kind of people who read their Bible in the morning. There ceases to be any debate of will I or won't I. We just get on because we just get on. You know, it's easy to say something is a priority. It's easy to make a list or write out a personal mission statement. But it is discipline that continually gives first place in our actions to what we say are the most important priorities. family devotions over football, integrity over ease, holiness over temporal pleasure, church over a long lie on a Sunday morning. But there's always the choice involved. Discipline always requires something to be sacrificed, and this may be otherwise good things. But if they're not the priority, they have to be put to death. And the sooner we make peace with the fact that we can't have it all, the sooner we'll do what's necessary to become disciplined followers of Jesus. The Apostle Paul makes this point. Those who competed for the games trained and disciplined themselves and were willing to suffer and sacrifice. But all the time their striving is after a little crown of laurel leaves or something. Or in cycling terms, a maillot jaune, a yellow jersey. Or a few moments of glory. Or a World Cup to be kissed and embraced. Things that, in the intensity, may last only a moment. But Paul says, compete as if you're going for the prize. Run the race of life as if you're going to win it. Be dedicated and determined for seeking after Christ. Isn't an eternal weight of glory worth far more than a gold medal or a Super Bowl ring or a World Cup? Discipline means requiring that we keep the goal in mind. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Likewise, Paul tells us, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You focused on the goal? Are you pursuing that end with a single-minded purpose? Or are you being distracted from your devotion to Christ by other things? Amen.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be
turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for your anger passes quickly, but your mercy lasts a lifetime. From the depths of chaos you raised up the newborn earth and sent your prophets among your people. To us you have sent your Son Jesus the Christ, and in compassion he has reached out and touched us, cleansing us from all that defiled us. And though he was killed by gloating enemies, you changed our anguish into a joyful dance, raising him up and crowning him with a glory that will never fade. And now he washes us in your everlasting mercy and pulls us from the depths, cleansed and healed, that we might run the race and receive the victor's wreath, our lives forever singing your praise. We come before you today, Lord, humbled by the high calling of the gospel. And we lift up all leaders, teachers, preachers, and mentors, and we pray for ourselves that you would grant us the grace of spiritual discipline. Just as an athlete trains their body, Lord, help us to train our hearts, minds, and actions so that our daily lives align with your holy word. We pray for the strength of self-control. When our flesh is weak and tempted, bring our bodies and desires into subjection to your spirit. Keep us from the hypocrisy of pointing others to the cross while neglecting our own walk with you. And we ask for the humility and the resolve to finish the race of faith with integrity. Protect us from becoming disqualified or castaways. Keep our eyes fixed firmly on the imperishable crown rather than temporary rewards of this world. Pour out your spirit upon your people so that our walk may always honour our talk and our lives may be a true and living sacrifice. You call us to be communities held together by prayer and love for our neighbours. Thank you for the ministry that has blessed us through the concern others have shown us. Where people mourn loss of any kind, provide comfort. Where there is illness and pain, bring healing. Where there is distress or discouragement, transform fear into hope. By your Spirit, equip us to serve one another in Christ's name, so that your compassion touches lives with love and mercy. And now we pray the words Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.